So we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us tonight. Ask you to fill us with your spirit, that we would know your love for us, and we'd know, Lord, the word that you'd speak to our hearts. We praise and glorify your name. Recently, some journalists were invited to talk to the Pope and to gather from the Pope, Pope Francis, something of what makes him tick. And then to put this together after five interviews into a big article that appeared in the American magazine. Now, the first question that they asked was, who is Jorge Bergoglio? That's the Pope's name, if you didn't realize. Who is this man? And the Pope paused just for a moment, and then he said, I'm not really sure how to answer that question, but the best answer I can give is that Jorge Bergoglio is a sinner. And then he told us, through the interviewers, that his motto is from the call of St. Matthew. And you remember when Matthew was sitting at the customs house, tax collector who had lots of riches taken by ill gain from other people, and Jesus called him. But firstly, the Pope reminds us, he looked upon him with mercy. And because of that gaze of mercy upon his heart, he heard the call. And he was called to follow Jesus. And the Pope said, that's what's happened in my life. As a sinner, I've experienced the gaze of Jesus and his merciful gaze upon me, that has given me the ability to hear his call and to respond to it with all my heart. We can see it right through the Gospels. Take Zacchaeus, for example. You know, up the tree there, thinking he was safe and not able to be seen by the Lord, but the Lord knew he was there and stops and says to him, Zacchaeus, come down. And Zacchaeus, being called by name, gets the fright of his life and almost tumbles down out of the tree. And there on the ground, he encounters the merciful gaze of Christ. And his heart is opened. And the people complain, like he's talking to a tax collector, a scumbag who's, you know, taken all our money unfairly. But Zacchaeus stands his ground and says, look, I know I've stolen money, but if I've taken that money from people, I'll give twice the amount back. You see, once the mercy of God is experienced in his heart, a whole new largeness of heart, a whole new generosity awakens in him, and he's no longer grasping for money. It's interesting, the Pope uses the image of Caravaggio's call of St. Matthew, who also was a tax collector, made his money off other people's ill fortune. And Matthew has the hand, the grasp of his hand around the money bag. And he's hearing, Jesus has got his finger pointing at him. And what's he going to do? Let go of the money and come to the Lord? Or cling to his ill-gotten gains and never open his heart to God? And we know he chose to open his heart. And so to let go of what had previously held his heart. Jesus says in the gospel today, you cannot love both God and money. Now, if the love of God penetrates your heart, then you'll be free from the rule of money. Now, when I was in Washington as a student, went to see Nancy Sinatra sort of singing. Huh? downtown. And it was all glittering and wonderful. And she sang that song, money, money, money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. And we're all into it. Yeah, money, money, money makes the world go round. Well, of course, it's not a bad song, I guess, but like, it's not the truth. It's love that makes the world go round, if it's going to go round at all. It's the love of God. And you can't have the love of God in your heart if you've got the love of money. And strangely enough, we have to use money, don't we? Jesus says, use that money, which is a tainted thing. You ever thought about that? Money, Jesus says, is a tainted thing. But so often, our lives are ruled by money. I pick up the newspapers, and it's all about the economy. Because the total preoccupation of the society is on the economy. Now, I'm not saying we should be economically irresponsible or anything like that. Jesus says we must use money, but it is a tainted thing, and it can destroy the heart. It can rot the heart when greed holds the heart in bondage, and we're not free anymore to love. Remember the rich young man came up to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And well, Jesus says, you know, keep the commandments. I've always kept the commandments. And then Jesus looked in the man, and we said he looked steadily at this man, and he loved him, and he looked right into his heart. And he saw what had the hold on his heart, his riches. He says, oh, there's one thing you lack. And another translation says, it's one more thing you need to do. It's a more positive thing. One more thing you need to do. Go sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Now we're told he went away sad because he was a man of great wealth, which had a hold on his heart. He couldn't let it go. Jesus was offering him the experience of love. Love that has no end. But he wasn't able to love. He wasn't able to let go. And so for fear of being miserable, for not having what he thought was so important, he went away as the most miserable man in the whole history of the world. Certainly in the Gospels. And the Gospels is the center of the world, is it not? The most miserable of all. Now how sad would that be? If we too would allow money and our riches, our wealth, whatever it is, to have such a hole in our heart, it prevents us from being free, free to be who we truly are in God. Now it's interesting, isn't it, that in this gospel, Jesus tells that strange parable. And you know, just tonight, the Lord gave me an insight. As I heard this gospel today, I realize what it's about, probably for the first time. You see, this steward, why was he so astute? Because when he found out that his stewardship was coming to a finish, he wanted to make sure he would be welcomed by people. And so he made sure he'd be welcomed by making sure they had a good deal, right? And that they got money given to them, more than they deserved. That is by giving away money. That's how he acted. And then Jesus says, right at the end of it, make sure that in the use of money, tainted as it is, that you use it to win your friends. And then when it fails you, they'll welcome you into the tents of eternity. Now, who will be your friends? The poor. If you give your money to the poor, if you share what you have in your surplus with those who do not have, then you'll be welcomed into eternity. Because who is going to welcome you into eternity? It's not going to be the rich. It's not going to be the millionaires, necessarily. Let's hope some of them will be there. But it's going to be the poor. It'll be those who are God's loved ones. They'll be the ones to welcome you into eternity. So make friends now with the poor. Now be one in solidarity with those who are most in need. Share of your riches. Don't cling to them yourself. I'll give an example of this. Lawrence the Deacon. Remember Lawrence the Deacon? Lawrence the Deacon in the early church, his bishop was going off to be martyred. And Lawrence was full of distress. He said, "Oh, can I come with you? Bring me with you to the martyrdom," because his bishop was just about to have his head chopped off. And the bishop turned to him and said, "You'll be coming in 3 days." Right? Because there was a big persecution on. And sure enough, he did come in 3 days. But before he got to his martyrdom, he was very astute in those 3 days. He told the prefect, the Roman prefect in charge of all these persecutions, he told him, "Look, I'm going to bring to you all the treasures of the church. If you come in 3 days' time to such and such a house, all the treasures of the church will be there." And the prefect thought, "That's good." So 3 days' time, he comes along, and all he sees is all of the poor people of Rome, all that have been gathered up by Lawrence, brought to this one courtyard, and it's full of all the poor and the destitute, those who are living off the streets. And the prefect says, "Where's the treasures of the church?" Lawrence says, "Here are the treasures of the church." And so, of course, he was put to death, but for the sake of the treasures of the church. But the poor would have been there to welcome him into eternity. So let's not be afraid to share of our riches. Let's not cling to them. Jesus promises us that there is a great reward for that. This is the teaching of the church. But sometimes we have to wonder whether we're living according to the teaching of the church. And of course, we should not experience it as a harsh demand, but rather like Zacchaeus and like Matthew and like Jorge Bergoglio, we experience the merciful gaze of Jesus upon us, yet another sinner, and allow our sinful hearts to be touched by love, so that overcome by the generosity of God, who has redeemed me by the shedding of his precious blood on the cross, that I will allow my heart to be changed, allow my heart to be expanded, allow my heart to give until it hurts, allow my heart to share of the riches what God has bestowed upon me. I'll do that because I've experienced the love of God. I've known the touch of his mercy upon my heart. And I know that the one who became poor for my sake, I'm able to become rich because of his poverty, Jesus, who did not cling to all the riches of the Father's house, but emptied himself, becoming like us in all things but sin, so that through his becoming poor, we may become rich. And where is the true riches? It's not in material gain. It's not in material wealth. Where the true riches are, of course, is in the heart. It's the treasure of heaven that Jesus promised the rich young man. You'll have treasure in heaven if you let it all go. Treasure, heavenly treasure now, which is the experience of the love of God. That's where the depth of security needs to be. You see, we live in an insecure world where everyone's very insecure and trying to amass all sorts of things to be able to sort of establish that security, so-called gilt-edged security. The only gilt-edged security is security in God. That's why Jesus said to the man who said, "I want to follow you," he says, "You know, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." That's what it is to follow Jesus. Find our security in him, not in the mansion that I have up there, but not in the big car I have, not in the status I've found in the society because of my wealth, but my security is found in God. And that's why someone like Francis could just walk with sandals and just a sackcloth over his him and a belt around his waist and be totally full of the joy of God. Because the joy of the Lord is found not in material wealth, but the joy of the Lord is found in Him, in God Himself. And you can't worship both. You either worship riches or you worship God. Jesus puts it very plainly. You can't do both. God must be first. You must bow down and worship Him rather than mammon. And bless His name.